on this 396th episode of Dave's Gone By. I'm Dave Lefkowitz here with you. It's a little bit after 12 here, Mountain Time, at the University of Northern Colorado, where we do Dave's Gone By every Saturday morning from 10 until 1 Mountain Time, noon to 3 Eastern Time. I do apologize for some of the technical difficulties that we have been having. There was a blackout here, just momentarily, for a minute or two, that knocked the power out, and then I think that's affecting the sound and the everything, as usual. But we're doing the best we can as we do, and as we have been doing for the past 10 years on this radio program, Dave's Gone By. And speaking of it being 12 to 3 on the East Coast, and it's 2 o'clock, just a little after over there, we're going to talk to somebody who's out there back in Long Island, where this program started so many years ago. He was a guest co-host on Dave's Gone By for a couple of years, and has been a good friend for, well, longer than that. I must have known him for 25 years or so, still a good friend, and I'm very proud to have on the phone with us in the neighborhood, Jeffrey Goodman. Jeff, are you there?
Hi, Dave. I'm here.
Hey,
but
Jeff.
I don't think I was a guest co-host. I think I was a co-host for a long time. Every week I picked up and drove you.
I know you picked me up.
I don't have a license, but now I do since I moved to Greeley, Colorado.
That's right. Jeff, the radio studio was out in Babylon, New York, which was a big schlep eastward. And so Jeff would, very often if I wasn't on the train, Jeff would pick me up in his van and take me back and forth, and then we would do the show together. So he became the co-host. I called you the guest co-host because it's my show. It's a one-person thing. It's like, it's a Howard Stern show with Robin Quivers. So it's
whatever. I was only kidding.
I know. How are you, Jeff?
I'm good. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing pretty great. Pretty good. It's been a weird week or two. I had a tooth pulled. That was fun. That was nice.
Oh.
Sitting there, I have a wisdom tooth, and they actually knocked me out and gave me gas and IV and Valium, which I can tell you how nervous I am as a person.
You know, I'll tell you, I had my wisdom teeth taken out years ago, and I remember it because they gave me gas,
uh-huh.
And it was the first time I had gas, and you wake up and you feel so great. It's like you're like way high, and then the dentist would come to, the dentist, after you're, when you wake up, that's when they ask for money, and I just said, wow, what a great idea. Knock people out with this gas and ask them for money, because you give them whatever they want. Here's my checkbook. How many zeros?
And that's true, yeah. No, they settled up. They did the financial stuff even before, like the day before that I met with them for a consultation. So all I had to do was just get up and go, because you have amnesia. You don't remember.
I know.
It's bizarre, man. I remember them putting the mask on my face with the gas and then swabbing my arm down because I had to have an IV of, to keep me going while I was also under an IV anesthetic. And I'm totally needle phobic, but they did it so quick, and they gave me this spray that freezes your arm, which is the most genius thing ever, because it really makes barely felt any kind of needle prick at all. And by that time, I was gone. And the next thing I knew, I was getting out of the chair, and then I forgot the rest of the day. I still have short-term memory loss on everything.
That's why you don't drive yourself to the.
Yeah, you're not allowed. You have to sign a thing that you are not allowed to drive yourself for 24 hours.
I don't think remember, I did this back in the 90s when we didn't have all the paperwork to go with it.
Right, yeah.
Maybe the 80s, I don't know. That's why I'm not wise. I got all four taken out.
Oh, wow. Did you at the same time?
I think it was two and two, or maybe all four at the same time. Yeah. I think they do one side, and then they do the other side.
They could have taken another one of mine this time, but it's mostly impacted, so I'm like, yeah, let it be. If I can keep it another few years, I'll keep it some more years. No rush. What do you need it for? I'm sorry?
You need all the wisdom you can get.
Ba-dum-bum. Shh. And speaking of, well, I don't know if it's really speaking of wisdom, but how did we just meet because we were going to the theater together and we'd see each other across the aisle, or was it because Charlie was doing his TV show? How did we meet?
I don't know. It was some really bad misfortune of fate.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jeff Goodman. But
on your part.
On my part. Oh, gosh. Well, No, I think it's been a privilege to know
okay,
you,
good.
Jeff.
So it was a misfortunate fate on both parts.
So, all right, let's talk about good fortune. Now, one of the things that people who used to listen to us on radio on Long Island, when we used to do these late nights, and, you know, we were supposed to end our show.
Oh, yeah, first of all, tell them about the ride to Stony Brook.
Well, that was a different thing.
From the southern end of Nassau to the northern end of Suffolk.
Oh, yeah.
It was basically a whole diagonal across Long Island.
Well, what happened was Jeff and I were doing Dave's Gone By at that Long Island station, and then we thought, hey, maybe it'd be fun to do another show at kind of a college radio station out on Long Island. And to do our own thing there and a different kind of a show from Dave's Gone By, more of a tag team.
Where
we really would
show.
Be co-hosts. What? Sorry?
8 hours or something.
No. It was usually three and a half hours because all they could give us was the overnights. We ran at 3 in the morning until 6:30 a.m. That was the shift they gave us because we were newbies. And then sometimes we would be lucky and there'd be holidays and other people wouldn't show up for their shifts. And then we could get
a better
time.
Until the one holiday, you open your mouth.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't want to get into that again because we've gotten over that every time we go on the radio together. But the point was, you know, you were schlepping me all the way out to, like, you know, Stony Brook, Long Island, which was it was worse on the train even. But then going out there and going back, and we did a show there, and we were also doing the show on Long Island, and then we were just doing one, and then I moved. But point
thank
was.
Thank God gas wasn't $4 a gallon.
Back.
Thank God gas wasn't $4 a gallon back then.
Yeah, well, your little old truck wasn't exactly a model of gas efficiency. What did you get, like
my little old truck was better than the one you had.
What? What do you get to the gallon on your thing?
Oh, probably like 18 miles to the gallon, maybe 18.
18 isn't terrible. 15 is not so... I guess ours gets like 20, maybe, I hope, especially... prices are what they are now. But the main thing I'm getting at, Jeff, is that when we first started doing the show and I started knowing you, you were top in the scale at well over 300 pounds. You were huge. You know, you're a big guy. You had all these different things and you couldn't lose weight and then you'd start losing and then something would go down and you were going through some bad times. And then, I guess, what is it, a year and a half ago? When did the change happen?
What's that?
When did the change happen?
Change happened January 2011.
January 2011. So it's only been a year and a half. Okay. So
right.
That, Jeff, something clicked in your brain. Some.
No.
What happened?
I went and visited my friends in Thailand.
Uh-huh.
And basically they had an intervention for me.
Is that what happened?
Do you want to hear the whole story now?
I thought that you simply woke up one day and you realized,
no.
I got to change. I'm in this depressed state and everything needs to change. I didn't realize there was an intervention in Thailand.
Well, what happened is my friend Pop took me out to dinner and we were in, he was working in Phuket, Pattaya at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out to him and I'd gotten so big that I would wake up, my back would hurt, my knees would hurt, my legs would hurt. Every time I walked more than two blocks, I had to find a seat to sit down and rest. And he finally had it, because we had traveled, I traveled the world with him. And we went to China together, and when we went to China, China is a lot of walking. Even if, you know, you have a car, you just can't go places.
Right.
Like, you have to walk half a mile before you get to the Forbidden City.
Yeah, you can't drive on the rim of the wall, you know.
Let me tell you, you have to walk a lot of steps to get up to the wall. And they're not easy steps. They're old steps and uneven. But be that as it may, there's just a ton of walking. And what he did is he sat me down, and the most important thing that he said to me
was,
he said, first of all, I don't care what you look like. I love you if you're 600 pounds, if you're, you know, it doesn't make a difference to him. He said, but when we went to China, he said, I knew it was going to be a lot of walking, and I didn't know how you were going to do it. And he said, I was so proud of you. You walked all over, and you didn't complain. You didn't ask help. I didn't have to carry you, you know?
Well, yeah.
And he said, I was so proud. And he says, now in Pattaya, you can't make it two blocks without stopping to sit down, and you're out of breath, and your legs hurt, your knees hurt, your back hurts. And he goes, I just want you to feel better. He goes, I don't care how you look. I just want you to feel better.
Can I ask, Jeff?
It just,
yeah.
I'm sorry?
Can I ask you, Jeff, at your highest, what was your highest weight?
It's kind of unsure because every time I got on my own home scale, it went ERR.
Oh, good Lord.
After About 410, it stops working.
So you hit, you were over 400 at one point.
I was closing in on 450, I'm sure.
Oh, my God. I don't, wow. Wow.
Well, I'm also, for some reason, I always, people always tell me that they can't believe I weigh what I weigh. Because I guess I really am big boned.
Right.
Because when I ask people what they think I weigh now, they very nicely say, oh, low 200s. And I said, no, really, what do you think I weigh? And they tell me, say around 250, and then I, or if they don't tell me that, I tell them, you know, I'm still right near 300.
Are you still? I thought you...
Oh, yeah, I'm still at right near 300. I lost 130 pounds.
Yeah, no, but that was a while ago. I didn't realize you were sort of plateauing at this point. I thought you broke that 300 barrier months
ago.
Well,
over the summer, I was taking care of my friend Myrna, and I didn't eat as well as I should have, so I gained a little bit back, and it, of course, goes a little bit slower after the first 100.
Right, of course, well, yeah.
Because I'm trying to exercise, so you're building up a little muscle, and, you know, muscle weighs more than fat, you know, all that. But most people think I'm about, you know, 250 or so.
Which is not, I mean, that's already a normalish weight. You know, and especially if you can get to 250 for reals. You know,
well, I'm out of the big men stores, I could tell you that.
Well, yeah. Well, are you at 290?
But I'm not out of the multiple XLs.
Is that where you were at? Is it like 290?
What's that?
Are you at 290 at this point?
Just about, yeah.
All right. Okay. Okay, I was hoping for a little better news, but that's still good. You're under 300, which is a huge, you know, a big line
remember,
to cross.
Well, I'm just assuming that I know it was over 410, and I'm pretty sure it was close to 450 because I did go on a truck scale at one point.
Oh, God.
I did.
A truck
scale. So I'm counting from about, you know, 430 or so.
All right. Well, yeah, no, it's remarkable, especially in... a year and a half. It's a remarkable achievement. I just hope that you do, you know, now that the summer's over and you're taking care of yourself and not other people, you know, I mean, you have a dog to take care of, but other than that, you know, you look after yourself and we get you down a little bit more, you know, get you towards that 250.
No, my goal is to be, you know, just around, I mean, it's going to take me another year or so.
Okay.
But I'd like to be around 220.
Whoa. That would be unbelievable. I mean, not unbelievable. I think you can do
normal.
It. Sorry?
But I'll tell you, I always tell people, I always thank people for being very proud of me for losing the weight and stuff like that, but I always tell people,
yeah,
give people who lose the weight encouragement, but don't make them a superstar because they got themselves into this problem by gaining all that weight. So I don't like to think of myself as doing something spectacular. I think of myself as doing something really good, but after I did something really bad. So, you know, it's like if you steal money and then give the money back, are you really that nice a guy?
Well, that's a good thought. But if you want to look at it in a sort of nicer way, maybe look at it as food can be as addictive as anything else. So you blame the drug addict for getting hooked on drugs in the first place, and you blame the cigarette smoker for – why the hell would you pick up a pack of cigarettes in this day and age? But if
you're
kicking it, it's an addiction. I'm sorry, what?
I'm losing you on the phone. I can hardly hear you.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, if you're kicking an addiction, you do get kudos even if you were stupid enough to get addicted in the first place. That's basically what I'm saying. It's like, you know, oh, why would you try pot? Why would you try cocaine? Why would you put a cigarette in your mouth? Why would you have that first night when you drink to excess or mixed drinks and then you become an alcoholic? Stupidity. But at the same time, because they're physical and emotional addictions, it does, you know, you do get a pat on the back if you give them up. Because it isn't just like saying, oh, I'm giving it up and doing it, you know.
It's great that you stopped the bad behavior.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I think it's very commendable that people stop bad behaviors. But it's not like they saved a child from a burning building.
Right. Which you did, by the way. I remember you did that a couple of times.
Yes, every time I see a fire, I run in there.
But in the old days, it was just to toast marshmallows. So there you go.
Well, and sometimes I actually burned off fat, literally.
We're talking with Jeff Goodman on Dave's Gone By, my good friend Jeff. Now, Jeff, it has been, knock wood, a pretty good stretch for you, not just in losing the weight, but... you know, you're living on Long Island, you're fixing up your house, you're also fixing to sort of flip it, and you've got a house out in Las Vegas.
I'm fixing what?
You're fixing to flip in a way, because at a certain point you're going to leave Long Island and move to Las Vegas. How's that all going?
It's going great. The house is moving. I'm building all sorts of stuff. Become a lot more handy than I ever thought I'd be. And I enjoy it. I mean, you do something like, you know, you build shelves, you build walls, you put up ceilings, you put in, you know, lights, you do a little electrical. I try not to touch plumbing too much. But
probably a good idea. Actually, I would be more scared of electrical.
Wow, I did that. It's like such a good feeling to do stuff with your hands.
I wish I knew.
Because all my life I've been doing, like, mental work.
I know the feeling. I have no physical capability whatsoever. Nothing
but Dave,
electrical.
I'm telling you, and I if there's anyone listening, I wholly suggest that you just try and do something with your hands as well as your mind, because you get such a different feeling and you get such a sense of accomplishment. Every time I walk by something that I did or use the bathroom that I fixed up, or you just sit there and you go, you're so proud, and it gives you a whole new part of self-esteem.
I'm proud.
So I want you to go home today, Dave.
Yeah.
Think of a little project, not a big project, a little project that you can that you want to get done, and then do it. You know, you figure if you hired a professional, it would take a week. It could take you 2 months. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know. It's just
and then the most helpful stuff is like just on YouTube. You go on YouTube and you just write how to and you're anything you want to do.
I know.
Everything is out there.
I know, but I should and I ought and stuff like, because I remember my dad years ago, it was like 25, 30 years ago, we had a kitchen table that we got, a really nice kind of wooden kitchen table. And he said, you know, but it was all scuffed up and scratched. And he said, I'm going to make this my project. And he scraped and he sanded and he scraped and he varnished and he did. And it took like 2 weeks. You know, but head to foot, the whole table, and the kitchen stank, and it was sticky for, like, I mean, it was this big thing. But at the same time, when it was done, it was gorgeous.
And
you couldn't go into the kitchen and not see the table and not feel his pride in, like, I did this. And, of course, my father-in-law.
But how many years ago was this, Dave?
25 years ago, at least.
Okay. Do you still have the kitchen table?
Hell yeah.
And every time you look at it, you still get that great feeling, right?
Well, no. Now it's all scuffed. It's all scratched and scuffed up again.
But you still remember it.
Yeah. Well, yes. That's absolutely true. You know, there is a great sense of pride, yeah.
You know. It's such a good feeling. I'm telling you. And I'm going to call you because I know your home number.
Great.
Call you and make sure you get a project done because you will feel so good about yourself.
Well, you know, there's a light bulb missing in our hallway. So I know that'll be my next thing. There's a little bulb I need to put in there.
Okay, Dave, you could feel great about changing a light bulb.
Now, Jeff,
don't you take the light bulb out and put a nice light fixture in there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Glad to.
You know what I mean?
I'm not messing with electricity. Not going to do it. No,
you can't. All you have to do is remember to turn off your circuit breaker. And then you buy a little thing at Home Depot for like a couple of bucks. It's called a circuit tester. And you make sure the circuit is dead. And once the circuit's, if that light doesn't come on, you're not dealing with electricity, you're just dealing with wires. Because I went through the same thing. Oh, I don't want to do that. That's wise. I put up ceiling fans. You know, I didn't want to do it because I said it's live. And then I priced out an electrician. And honestly, some of these electricians and the people that these home people, they're done within a box of rocks. And you go, if they can do it, you could do it.
Well, I always feel that way about fixing, like, the toilet tank. When you have one of those little bulb things. I mean, I see them. They take a chain, they put a bulb, it's nothing. And they charge you $70. I really feel I could do, you know. I have to admit. Of course, I'll say that, and then it'll break tonight, and then I'll have to call a plumber. But
you could take a whole toilet apart. All you have to do is remember to put the wax ring down.
The wax ring? What the?
There's a wax ring that goes under the toilet, which stops the gases from coming up from the sewer. That's also why every pipe in your house, every drain pipe, has like that S-curve in it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it has a reservoir of the water. It's gravity keeps the water down.
Yeah.
So all the gases don't come back up. You have a barrier of water.
And believe me, if you knew my colonic system, you would not want those gases coming back up.
But aren't you impressed that I know this stuff?
I'm
and this is all my knowledge learning from YouTube, of all places.
It
is such an amazing world we live in that you can learn anything online. Anything.
Oh, that's our other guest calling in. Jeff, can I get one more anecdote or memory from you about Dave's Gone By, about doing the show with me over these, you know, at points over these past 10 years? One more thought.
Oh, how about the New Year's countdowns?
Just a little memory about that.
I don't know. It was very late. I remember the Tony shows. I just remember those big events that we did.
Yeah.
And just... almost every day was an event and doing the stupid show. It's like, and don't take stupid the wrong way.
But it was
a horror show and a great joy to do. You know,
that's pretty much
it's
every
like
episode.
It's one of those things that it's like, you know, it's like a hangnail. You kind of miss it when it's gone.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
But
yeah. Sorry.
It's paid. I mean, trust me, the drive to Stony Brook was not exactly my favorite thing to do because I'm not a big drive.
Well,
that
was just for a couple of months. Mostly we were at the station.
It seemed like a couple
of
years, Dave.
Oh. Anyway, Jeff, I'm going to grab our next guest, which is Joe Salzone from the other radio station. I want to wish you great luck, great success, and you know, keep on doing what you're doing, man.
All right. Tell Joe's from GBB, right?
Yeah, exactly, yes. And he's on
so
the other
tell
way.
Him I said hello. I remember him.
I will. Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks so much.